सोच विचार के साथ मेरा नाम नदीम उल हक है
और मेरा नाम अंजुम अल्ताफ है।
वेलकम टू सोच विचार। टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू टॉक अबाउट अ सब्जेक्ट दैट्स ऑफ एक्सट्रीम इंपॉर्टेंस टू पाकिस्तान सिंस वी बीन फिडलिंग अबाउट विद इट फॉर द लास्ट 60 or 70 years, I guess. The subject is local government, and in particular, municipal development and, the whole issue of local government. I've got with me a specialist in local government in the US, Ms. Miraj Fahim. She is a specialist in local government and municipal law. She's a lawyer by profession, but she has worked in local government reform, I think, in many, many different countries. She knows about local government. Whenever I talk to her, I learn a lot. She's also a senior fellow at a City Mayors Foundation, a major think tank in the US on cities and local government and local administration finance. So welcome, Miraj. It's very nice to have you on Soch Pachar.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, Miraj, tell me, Pakistan, I think you've dealt with Pakistan too. We've struggled with local government for a long time. But before we go to Pakistan, I'd like to understand some principles of local government from you. Can you please tell me why is it important for a country to have local government? We are used to thinking of the federal government in a centralized way, doing everything, making highways for us, making universities for us, making everything for us. Why do people like you think local government is important?
Well, the local government has become more important as countries have become more populous and also as they have become more urbanized. This has also affected the structure of local government. Those countries who are more evolved actually have been changing the structure of local government. In fact, England has actually been an example of this. For example, in the late 1800s, when they became urbanized, mostly urban country, they reformed their system in the 1800s. In the late 1800s, then they reformed it again in the 20th century, and they have just reformed it again. So they have been consistently reforming.
Now, why have they been reforming it? I mean, what's wrong with the earlier system?
Because it doesn't work anymore. Doesn't work anymore. And the thing is that developed countries and some developing countries can tell when something is not working. They have the will to change. Certain countries, like the United States, actually, which needs to reform its system and is lagging other developed countries, because here voter approval requirement that was introduced by the progressive reformers in the 19th century has been an impediment. So there are constant efforts to try to modernize the system, and they have been voted down by the voters.
But Miraj, what are you looking at? Give me the principles of local government development. What are the principles? What are the factors that you're looking for in a good local government system?
In a good local government system, I'm looking at a system which is able to provide services, which is able to help improve the local economy, that is responsive to its citizens, and which represents its citizens. In the area, in the most local area, the sub-municipal area, and also in the region and with the state and with the national government. If the local government does not have a voice of its own, then at the state level and at the national level, its interests are not respected.
So you're basically looking at the possibility of the local government being like a champion of the local people in the state or the federation space. Is that right?
That's one of its roles. That's one of its roles. In fact, now local governments are championing their local areas in the international arena. So in the age of, in the age of globalization, they have established their city-to-city sister relationships. There are parts of groupings and associations. Their representatives go to different countries to ask them to come.
But then isn't there a fundamental problem, if I think about it, let's take Pakistan for example, that Lahore and Karachi will be at an advantage because the larger population centers as compared to something like Las Vegas or Quetta. Smaller cities, in a sense, will get left behind. Or smaller local districts or rural districts will get left behind the bigger, richer cities.
Well,
how do you guard against that?
Well, you know, the thing is that then the state needs to also protect its local governments, because the local governments now, their economies affect the state government. Mm-hmm. Now, City Mayor just gave the City Mayor Award, World's Mayor Award this year, for the 2016 year, and it was given to the mayor of a small city that only has a population of 86,000.
86,000.
Yes. That's a small city.
Okay.
But it's in Mechelen. Its name is Mechelen. Mm-hmm. And its mayor has been absolutely amazing. And he is able to, he has actually, Mechelen has a big problem, has a big challenge, because Belgium has a radicalization problem of its Muslim immigrants. But the policies of the mayor were so different that it is the only major Belgian city that is totally unaffected by radicalization. None of its citizens went abroad in the jihadi intervention, unlike Brussels, unlike Mozambique. And they said, why is, in fact, people are asking, why is Mechelen different? And it's because the Mechelen mayor 15 years ago started introducing policies that integrated its new immigrants. Now, Mechelen has more than 120 nationality represented in a small city of 86,000. Mm-hmm. Not only that, it has a high percentage of its young children are immigrants.
So, now, what sort of services would you expect the local government to provide? Because the way I look at it, I mean, in a sense, taxation is mostly federal, or, you know, local taxation is very, very weak, especially in weaker cities. At the same time, services, most of the services are provided by the upper-level governments. What sort of services can the local government provide, and what sort of means does it have at its disposal?
Well, you know, that depends. That depends on what the states and the national governments are willing to fight, and it really varies. And also what the revenues that the state and local that are allowed. Like, for example, in the United States, a property tax that used to be actually a source of income for the states, as it is for the provinces now in Pakistan. The states found more lucrative sources of income, so they gave the property tax to the local governments, and that's the main revenue source that local governments have. They also have service charges that they can offer, or fees, but it really varies from state to state and what they allow. You know, what kind of revenues are taxing powers they give to the local governments. But, you know, one thing that is very noticeable is that the United Kingdom and all its former colonies actually limit the local autonomy to a greater extent than other countries. A recent study from EU found that 24 European countries provided more local autonomy than the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom only provided more local autonomy than Ireland, Cyprus, and Malta. So little Mechelen has more power than what London has.
And the mayor of London, huh?
Yeah, and look at Mechelen, 86,000 people. And that's pretty amazing. That's pretty moving. That's why when most of the time the mayors who come in the World Mayor Award, it's almost always dominated by Europeans. And why is it dominated by Europeans? Because European mayors get more power And so if you have more power, you also attract more competent people who are willing to work in local government.
Now, the issue is in terms of, for example, the services that local government provides.
Yes.
You would regard, for example, health, education, and what other services should the local government provide? And if it is only relying on its own little property taxes, then I can't see how the mayor of Mechelen can compete with the mayor of Brussels, for example, because, you know, here they've got much more money. And there is something that I keep hearing in the U.S. that the poorer districts tend to have poorer education and poorer health because they can't afford better service.
Yes, but you know, that's also because the states don't share more of what of their own revenue source, mm-hmm. which they can, mm-hmm. and the federal government does not share as much as it should. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In fact, with a big problem in local governments is that the federal government support of local governments has been receding mm-hmm. over you know several decades, mm-hmm. and the states have not picked up the slack. But I will tell you this also in local governments in the United States, that even within their areas, it is very noticeable that they will discriminate. They will not provide the adequate funding for their poor areas that they provide to their wealthier areas. And a study actually, I think it was a Transparency, they found that this is actually true even in poor cities. Mm-hmm. And the reason they do that, it's because they get more revenue from tax revenue from the wealthy areas. Mm-hmm. Although strong towns, which I would recommend viewers to visit the website, mm-hmm. they found actually recently that mm-hmm. local governments actually get more revenue from their poor areas, which contradicts what people assume. It really depends on how much revenue they get from it and what they actually services they provide to it.
Let me ask you another question. I mean, this the way I look at it, for example, let's think of Pakistan again. A city like Karachi or Lahore,
yes,
would have a larger skill base to draw upon to run its local government if it gets that kind of autonomy. Whereas if I think about it, a city like Las Vegas again or Quetta will not have the skill base to run the local government, because I'm sure you'll agree that it is the skill base required, right?
I agree with
you. So how do we deal with that question?
Well, for that, those cities will rely more on the civil service. Mm-hmm. So civil service actually in Pakistan and India and Bangladesh is actually needs to upgrade its abilities. Mm-hmm. To provide services to local governments, mm-hmm. And to vary them, and in the United States, actually, the role of the civil service has become more pronounced, mm-hmm. and this has happened exactly because of what you mentioned, the capacity issue. Mm-hmm. So it's only in the largest mm-hmm. local governments in the United States that. That have what they call the council, the middle council system, mm-hmm. and the majority of local governments in the United mm-hmm. States have the council manager system. Mm-hmm. And actually, what this does is that the mayor's role is lesser. Actually, the council's role mm-hmm. is actually more stronger, mm-hmm. and the council, the manager. Is everyone who provides the expertise and the capability, but takes its direction from the council.
But listen, in Pakistan, for example, I mean, I know you worked in Pakistan. Let's just discuss Pakistan a little bit. In Pakistan now, you have the civil service, which is organized in a centralized fashion. And in fact, the young civil servant first works in local government as a magistrate or a DC or something, mm-hmm. or as a city manager like DG LD or DG KDA. And then he graduates to the central federal government to become the secretary. So everybody in the city of Lahore, for example, answers to the DC or the DG LDA. And that means the city planner, town planner, or whatever has to be junior to him. Now, this guy himself is a mid-level official, so everybody else has to be below that mid-level official. Now, I see in the States it's very different. Like the town planner of Chicago or the chief financial officer of Chicago is in no way inferior and is in no way related to the federal government. Chicago bureaucracy is totally
separate. That's how it should be. Yeah? That's how it should be.
So you think that in Pakistan also we should separate the local and the federal and the state government, right?
It should separate civil service.
But then there's another problem. The mayors, when they get elected, or even our prime ministers, whatever, they get elected, they think they're born to govern. And everybody else is kind of reporting. But you are telling me something different about city managers versus mayors.
Yes, city managers, so in the role for the manager in developing countries, mm-hmm. the role should actually be more, if the city manager is actually the one who is best trained to work in local government, because people who will get elected, then they won't necessarily have the experience, they won't necessarily have the knowledge, they may have the will, but it is the combination of the desire of the local, the elected representative represent the wishes and the desires of the constituency, but also the executive ability which the civil service has. You know, it's a partnership.
But how do you manage the tension? Because in Pakistan, in developing countries, I've seen that the newfound enthusiasm of the democratically elected person kind of gets mixed in with the avarice and makes a very bad combination.
Well, I think actually is that there should be a dispute resolution body. And in fact, the PLGCs that were introduced during the Musharraf government had a dispute resolution role. You know, I'm really disappointed that only Punjab has kept the PLGC, the Provincial Local Government Commission, and they don't even realize that this PLGC can actually also issue municipal, you know, be the foundation for of a sustainable municipal bond market for Pakistan. This PLGC is actually something that,
Let's step back a little. Can you give us an idea of the Musharraf reforms and what you think of them, and you can discuss the PLGC in there?
Well, the Musharraf reforms are actually the most modern reforms for South Asia at the time.
Oh, really? So they were good. You liked them, huh?
Yeah, not only that. In fact, I wrote an article for City Mirrors of the Karachi system, and I was contacted by someone from India who read my article, and he told me that he actually recommended to the Indian government that they, because he really liked the urban system. And the Indian government, their constitution does not allow for a similar system which links the center, the local government with its peripheries, you know, with its suburbs. And so he advised the Indian government, and he also actually apparently had a seminar about the district system, which he said that Pakistan was a model, you know. So it was, for me, it was very surprising because I wasn't, I hadn't looked into the Indian system.
So tell me, what did you like about the Musharraf system?
I thought the Musharraf system was a good beginning, but it definitely needed more work. What I liked about it was, for me, the most outstanding feature was the urban government form, which was introduced for the large cities. Actually, that form should be applicable to many more cities.
Okay, what is the nature of that form?
The nature of the form is that the large city and its suburbs were encompassed in one system. And and it was decentralized. It was really very interesting. I was actually, somebody sent me an article about the constitution that the prophet he introduced for Medina, and it was actually the system was a decentralized system.
Beautiful,
which was amazing. Which is it's probably the first. I don't know if there's any earlier example of a city system that was introduced that was decentralized.
Right.
And so, you know, if you think of it, the prophet understood the value of a decentralized city system. Mm-hmm. Or Medina, which probably wasn't a big city.
So let's return to Musharraf. Now, Musharraf's reform, you say, was very good in the urban form. And it was very good local government system. But yet everybody feels that it led to a lot of corruption, and that's why the reform was kind of put aside and they put in a new system.
No. That was an excuse. Corruptions are in every system. It has nothing to do with a new system or the old system. Mm-hmm. Corruptions are in every country, mm-hmm. And it was just that, I think, that the politicians wanted control of local governments. Mm-hmm. And so they made an excuse without realizing that actually they would benefit from having a local governments that were functioning better. Mm-hmm. And they would actually benefit from using local government properly. Like, for example, the rural government system, I think, had just too many layers. Mm-hmm. And it was confused by the problem, actually, of how the rural system was actually introduced in India, which was introduced by Ripon. And what he did was actually he introduced a prototype of the French local government system at the time. Mm-hmm. A more advanced form of that was introduced a few years later by his party in the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. It was a three-tier system. And you could see there was a three-tier system that was introduced by Ripon, but it was a bare prototype. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, there was no effort to really improve that system until after independence, when Nehru made an effort to introduce that, to upgrade it. Unfortunately, Nehru went, which this Indian gentleman told me, to Yugoslavia for guidance, which was completely off base. I have no idea, did he not go to England to at least find out the source? Maybe nobody in England knew, And I think...
No, he was fresh off his anti-colonial mode, so he didn't want to go to the parent country. He wanted to go to... And he was kind of in a socialist rubric, so he wanted to go to some socialist country to learn. So that's understandable. But tell me, in terms of this, the new system that our four provinces have put in after having discarded the Musharraf system. Now, what's the big difference between them and the Musharraf system?
The interesting thing is that actually the Musharraf system, for some reason, KP has kept the large city system for Peshawar.
Okay.
And Karachi was somehow still retained to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
But Punjab doesn't have it. And the thing is, it's not enough to just... Actually, the problem with it's actually having a large city system gives a large city an advantage over all the other local governments. Mm-hmm. You can see this in London. Mm-hmm. It has a borough system which encompasses its local suburb. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was enlarged twice.
Mm-hmm.
No other local system had this benefit in mm-hmm. all of England. Mm-hmm. No wonder London is like the power center of the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it in Japan. Mm-hmm. Japan's system, its suburbs were encompassed in the original form of Tokyo. Tokyo. So Tokyo is like no other city has a population that is comparable to Tokyo's.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's the only system of its kind in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really what it does is it throws off the balance. And this problem actually needs to be addressed because all the local governments need to be able to get stronger together. And there are two forms of this kind of a system. What the Pakistan's, the form that was introduced under Musharraf, it's a hierarchical form. Another form is a cooperative form where local governments who are small combine together and they create a joint body that looks that is able to address area-wide issues. And local governments, they are therefore able to punt above their weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this has been a huge. This was actually introduced by, and the French started this. They started this in the 1890s with server sharing. So, you know, the British copied the French original form, which was a city, you know, decentralized city, which was Paris. They created one for London. And then the three-tier form that the French introduced in 1789, the British introduced in the late 1900s. Late 19th century. But for the French, they actually in 1890 found that because they had so many small local governments, they were not able to provide services properly. So they combined and did service sharing. Now, service sharing, amazingly, is extremely popular in the United States. It's extremely popular in Europe, because many local governments can, on their own, not provide the services, so they share service delivery.
Okay.
That's something that Pakistan can have with.
And how does that happen? Does it happen voluntarily? Does it the federal government force it? State government force it? How does it work?
State government doesn't really force it. Local governments do it.
They do it voluntarily.
Yes, but in France, it was because, you know, France is a unitary system and it was first introduced so long ago, the central government, and always in France, the central government always introduces the form, and then it gives the local governments the choice to create similar systems. Like, for example, the most recent system is the Metropole form, which I say it's an urban form, which is a horizontal cooperative system of the city and its suburbs. But the difference between this and the other forms is that the area of the metropole is far larger than the other systems that were introduced before by the French. The first city suburban system that was introduced in France was introduced in 19...
But Miraj, isn't there a problem? I see this problem all the time in here, as well as in Pakistan, as well as everywhere else. Cities are growing laterally. Where do you fix the boundary? I mean, if I have, let's say, Lahore, for example, the old Lahore that I used to know was sort of, let's say, cantonment in the old Lahore that we used to know is roundabout ended where Gulberg was, or maybe Muslim town or whatever.
Yes, yes.
But now it's stretched all the way to Raiwind. Now, it seems that the developers or people who want a home can stretch the city out ad infinitum. So is the local government always chasing a stretching city? You mentioned strong towns. I think this guy also talks about it. How do you deal with a stretching city and the stretching infrastructure?
The stretching city is actually what strong towns is about. Mm-hmm. Because it has found that sprawl actually is unsustainable. Because it costs more, you know. And the local governments just don't have the...
So how do local governments deal with it?
Well, right now, they just keep on issuing more debt.
Okay. So what is the expert solution on that? What should you do?
The expert solution is more dense developments. Mm-hmm. The expert solution is mixed-use developments, because Karachi and all Pakistani cities have huge traffic problems. Well, why do they have traffic problems? Because zones are separated. Okay. Now, if you had a combination of mixed-use developments, you wouldn't have these big traffic problems, because people would be going to offices that are closer to...
So basically what you're saying is we need denser cities, we need more autonomous cities, we need the city administrations, the city mayors, the city councils, whatever, we need to have a system that is capable of delivering public service delivery, health, education, and I would even... Would you even put police in there? I mean, even local police should be there, or police should be federal or state?
Well, you know, I think the problem really has to do with if you give a local government powers to do things, but it does not have the finances to do it, and it won't be able to deal with it.
Yeah, that's the most important issue. Yeah.
It actually, during the Great Depression, it had the highest number of debt defaults in the country. And if there was a research, they looked at it and said, why is this, why this happened? And they found out that their local governments could not, were issuing debt because they did not have the revenue to support education and roads. Those are the two most expensive costs.
That happened a lot in Latin America, and that's why they came into many fund programs. So let's summarize a little. So the issue is we need more local government because we need more people, local governments to be active in terms of engaging in a national policy-making situation where they could be beneficiaries or losers. We need more local government autonomy within the local system to be able to deliver public service. But for that, we need some kind of a revenue-sharing mechanism from the federation.
Absolutely.
Or down, right? But at the same time, we need capacity within local governments to do better things.
Right.
But at the same time, we also need some kind of definition of cities and how to control sprawl. And at the same time, what we need is some kind of checks on the local government to be able to issue debt and expand beyond reason. And at the same time, we want the local government to understand that their infrastructure and the expansion of the infrastructure also means the financial cost to them in the long run. What Strong Town says is that they should really be strong in terms of their finances, in terms of their public service delivery. It requires a very cerebral local government apparatus, doesn't it?
Well, yes, it does, but it also requires that, that you have some kind of a think tank. You have a body which is constantly training local officials. For example, in North Carolina, it actually has the best system in the United States when it comes to local government finances and local government management. And the reason is that after they had that huge default, they realized that they needed to actually discipline municipal bond issuance also. So although the state took over the responsibility for providing education and for providing for roads, it also created, for example, the University of North Carolina School of Government constantly educates local and state officials. It has like over 100 courses. It is constantly educating. Not only that, it also acts as a think tank. They field phone calls from local officials for help, you know?
Oh, my God. Great. You know, this is something where there's a problem, unfortunately. I don't think developing countries appreciate enough the role of thinking and research. I've struggled with it in Pakistan, and I don't think even the international aid system appreciates the role of local thinking and research. That's a subject that we should come to at some point. But now I think we've kind of run out of time. But this has been a great discussion. Learned a lot from you. And would you like to summarize it in some ways very quickly so that we can close the thing?
I would summarize it to say that local government is vital for developing countries and developed countries, and it's vital to have it in the proper, to be able to deliver the services to its people. So there should be sufficient autonomy for that. But there should also be, you know, the capacity. You should also give each powers of different local government should have the capacity based upon what they can deliver. So a rural local government will not have that capacity that an urban local government will have, and the rural local government will not have that capacity. But one thing I will say this is that China was able to develop its local governments very quickly, even its rural local governments, because the Communist Party was trained, and the Communist Party's officials were in all local governments. So they had already a built-in trained structure, and so that is. But otherwise, for example, in other countries, if you don't have people who have some capacity, then the local government is not going to function the way it should be functioning.
Great, thank you, Miraj. Thank you very much. We'll take it up again sometime. I think you've been very lucid on this, but I think there's a big amount of subject to be covered still.
Nadeem, I want to say one thing. Sure. My next article, which I'm actually going to finish drafting, mm-hmm. hopefully today, mm-hmm. is going to be about the lessons of Michelin Belgium and Singapore, and how the small local governments used all their citizens, you know, treated them as assets, and used them to develop their economies, and. Even Little Mechelen, from 86,000 people, has completely turned around its economy.
Wonderful. I'll tell you what, send me the link. I'll put it alongside the website, the blog, the podcast, so that people can access it. And I'll spread it widely in Pakistan. But thank you, Mehraj. We'll stay in touch.
Soch Bachar ke saath, mera naam Nadeem Ul Haq hai.
Aur mera naam Anjum Altaf hai.